still there, I said, praise the Lord. Shall we rise up as we pray? Heavenly Father, we bless your name for this retreat. Thank you for how far you have led us. Thank you for all the encouragement you are giving your people. Thank you, Lord, because as we run this race, we run courageously, successfully, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, that every life will count for you. And we pray that every grace we need, every strength we need, all the power we need to make our lives count for you here on earth and in eternity. Give everyone in Jesus' name. Bless all your people. Challenge us again. And whatever still needs to be chiseled out of any life, do it for us, Lord. And be glorified in every life. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. As we come to this message tonight, we're speaking on vessels of honor in God's hands. And we're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. As we look at the message we have tonight, it talks about vessels. All of us have vessels in our homes. We have vessels that we use for things that are precious, that are wonderful, that are useful and profitable. We also have vessels that we use for things that are dirty. Dustbin, that's a vessel. And other things, we put refuse and we put human waste. That's also a vessel. It says some of the vessels are unto honor and some of the vessels are unto dishonor. In verse 20, it tells us, but in a great house, he's speaking here figuratively. He's talking about the church, the local church, the headquarters church, the district church, the church in the state, the church in the nation. It's a great house. It says in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver. It says, but there are also vessels of wood and of earth, of clay, and some to honor. Some of the vessels are very good and precious, and they are unto honor. It says some to dishonor. That is, those ones are not very good. You cannot present them to serve your neighbor or to serve the family or to serve anyone. But he's calling upon us that will be vessels unto honor, that will be suitable and meet for the master's use. You see, he's talking about us. He's talking about you, talking about me. He's talking about members of the body of Christ, members of the church. And he refers to us as vessels. That's why he tells us in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Talking about a human being, a believer, a child of God, the one who purges himself, who purifies himself, and thereby becomes a vessel unto honor. And talks about it's being sanctified, and is meet or suitable of feet for the master's use, and is prepared unto every good work. Then he tells us what to flee from, what to escape, and what to run away from if we're going to be vessels unto honor. It says flee also youthful lusts, the things that defile, the things that debase, the things that destroy. Flee also youthful lusts. If you're going to be a vessel unto honor, you have a responsibility, and you have a duty, and you have something to do. The decision is in your hand. The decision is in my hand. He wants to use you. He wants to use me. But he's only going to use vessels unto honor. And if you're going to be a vessel unto honor, here is it. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. Vessels of honor. Faith, that's vessel unto honor. Charity, love, vessel unto honor. And peace, vessel unto honor. With them, other vessels that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, out of a purified heart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here we're reading from verse 3. It's reminding us again that we are vessels in the sight of the Lord. But what kind of vessel should we be if we're going to serve the Lord? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. For this is the will of God, even your spiritual circumcision. For this is the will of God, even your spiritual cleansing. For this is the will of God, even your inner holiness. For this is the will of God, even your heart holiness, sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication. That is, you abstain from every appearance of fornication. It says in verse 4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor. Once again, we're convinced that the vessel is not a kind of utensil at home. It's a human being. It's the one that is saved, and the one that is sanctified, and the one that is prepared for every good service. When God called Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, he referred to him as a vessel. And when God calls anyone today, he refers to that one as a vessel. And as God has called you, the Lord is referring to you as a vessel. You'll be a vessel unto honor if you're going to serve the Lord in the capacity he expects you to serve him. Acts chapter 9, reading from verse 15. Acts chapter 9, reading from verse 15. It says, for the Lord said unto him, unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. He, the man, he, the convert, he, Saul, who has just been regenerated, he, Paul, that became the apostle, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So then, as we're talking about vessels, We're talking about children of God. As we talk about vessels, we're talking about the people that have come to know the Lord, and the grace of God is in their lives, and there's godliness in their lives, and there is glory that is going to be manifested through their lives. They are vessels unto honor in the hands of God. We're going to divide the message into three parts. Number one, purified vessels of honor in God's hand for service. Purified vessels of honor for service. He wants us to serve him, and he has peculiar service he wants you to carry out. And yet he's saying you must be a purified vessel, a sanctified vessel, a purged vessel, a holy vessel, a cleansed vessel, a vessel that God himself has cleansed with the blood of the Lamb. Purified vessels of honor for service. Number two, polluted vessels of dishonor without salvation. Polluted vessels of dishonor. In the passage we read, it says in a great house, there are not only vessels unto honor, but there are vessels unto dishonor. They are not honorable. They are not glorious. They are not clean. They are not pure. They are not useful. They are not serviceable. They are not acceptable in the sight of the Lord. They are dirty. They are defiled. And because they are polluted, they bring dishonor. And the Lord cannot use them. Polluted vessels of dishonor without salvation. Point number three, preferred vessels for harvesting of souls. Preferred vessels for harvesting of souls. We come to number one, purified vessels of honor for service. Let's come back to this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we read again from verse 19. It says, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure. Nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure. He's saying, in all seasons, in all generations, in all dispensations, and in every nation, in every country, God has the same foundation. He says, nevertheless the foundation of God, from the time of old until this time, that foundation standeth sure. Traditions of men will not change that foundation. The ideas and the opinions of men will not change that foundation. The characteristics of men will not change that foundation. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. They may be few that are vessels unto honor. They may be many that are vessels unto honor. Whether few or many, God has a foundation, and God has a standard, and God has a principle, and he will not change. He will not bend. He will not modify his foundation. That foundation of God standeth sure until the end of the world. If we're going to see the glory of God, if we're going to see the power of God, that foundation stand is very sure, is very certain. And it says it has a seal, it has a mark, it has a sign, it has a token. It says the Lord knoweth them that are his. And it says, if you want to be known to belong unto the Lord, if you want to be known and be counted as the people, part of the people that God will use, that God will find profitable in the kingdom, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil. How do you name the name of Christ? You name the name of Christ in prayer. Depart from evil. You name the name of Christ in testimony. When you say, I praise the Lord has saved me, you name the name of Christ in testimony, then it says you are going to depart from evil. And when you are witnessing to other people, You're evangelizing other people. You mention the name of the Lord. And it says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from evil. Everyone young, everyone old, everyone a man, everyone a woman. Let everyone that wants to be a vessel unto honor, let him depart from evil. And then he tells us now in verse 21, if a man therefore purged himself from all these, that is the things that will defile and the things that will make you dirty in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, the things that God himself is against. It says, if any man will purge himself. You see, the preacher will preach, the pastor will teach, and all the ministers will declare the truth of the word of God. Then it comes to you to say, I need to be purged, I need to be saved, or I need to be made holy, I need to flee that one, I need to get rid of that in my life. You are the one to make the purging. If any man therefore purge himself, if any woman therefore purge herself from all these, then it shall be a vessel unto honor, purified vessels of honor for service. If a man purge himself, a woman purge herself from all these, she shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Yes, you are saved, go ahead, sanctified, purified, because God has said, be ye holy for I am holy. It's not just to accept in your mind, it's not just to accept in your head, it's not just to accept as a doctrine that there is holiness, but you move ahead and you possess, you move ahead and you experience, and you say, I want to be useful in the hands of the Lord, therefore I must be saved. You're saved, therefore I must be sanctified, and you're sanctified. The man that purges himself, the woman that purges herself, the boy, the girl that purges himself, herself, the Christian that purges himself, sanctified, and then it says suitable for the master's use. What does that tell you? If you are not sanctified, if you are not holy, whatever your talent, whatever your training, whatever your experience, whatever you got from college, whatever you got from any seminary, that's not enough. You have to purge yourself, you have to be sanctified, you have to be holy, and then it says you'll be sanctified and you'll be fit for the master's use. You'll be prepared, you'll be ready unto every good work. And then it says, here is what you do. If you're wondering, how do I get myself ready? How do I get myself sanctified? How do I get myself suitable and fit for the master's use? Flee also youthful lusts. What do I mean, flee? You remember Joseph? That woman, Potiphar's wife, wanted to defile him. And the man did not say, oh, she is my master's wife. And if she is saying this, she knows better. She must have a higher standard than I have. Who am I? I'm just a slave. But that man knew, Joseph knew, he had a dream. He was going to be useful in the hands of the Lord. He didn't know how, he didn't know when, he didn't know where, but he knew he had a dream. And that dream showed that he will be a man that others will bend to, that others will learn from. He will be a great vessel in the hand of the Lord, a vessel of honor in the hand of the Lord. Because of that, he fled. He didn't stay around. He didn't say, master's wife, do you think this is right? Master's wife, don't you think this may not be all right? No conversation. He fled. And that's what he's saying, that when you want to be used of God, you want to keep your soul, you want to keep that salvation, you want to keep that sanctification, and you want to be a vessel unto honor, it says you will flee useful laws, and then you will run after, you will follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord from a pure heart, out of a pure heart. David understood that because he was careless. He backslid. He went back into sin. And he didn't say, well, whatever has happened, whatever has not happened, I am still a king anyhow. Other people may know about what I've done. What does that matter? I'm still a king anyhow. He knew he might be a king, but he will not be a vessel unto honor. Therefore, he went to pray. You cannot be purged fully, purified fully, sanctified wholly, sanctified entirely without this prayer, this kind of prayer. Look at this, Psalm 51. I'm reading here from verse 6. Psalm 51, verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. It's not just the external life. It's not, I don't steal, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. That's external. But now, your inward part, your very spirit, your very soul, your very heart. Behold, God desires truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me, I want to serve you. Purge me, I want to be a vessel to honor. Purge me, I want to be acceptable before you. Purge me, I want to get home to glory. Purge me, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Isn't it enough to be as white as snow? That's salvation. That's salvation. Though your sins be as scarlet, and though they be as crimson, I will cleanse you, I wash you, I'll make you as wool, I'll make you like snow. That means to salvation. It says, I want to go beyond salvation. I want to be as white as snow, salvation. I want to go beyond and be whiter than snow. And it says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Well, already you know he was saved before, but he backslid, and now he's asking for salvation. But it's not stopping at salvation, he's asking also for sanctification. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Not just the joy of salvation. This is not a make-believe salvation. This is not, okay, I've got it, I've got it. Okay, I think I've got it. No, it's not make-believe. Thy salvation, the one you give, the one I am sure is coming from you, grant me and give me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Look at verse 13. Then and only then, after I'm restored. But slider, we cannot just go out courageously serving the Lord, courageously running the race. They have told us, reach this and reach this and reach that. Hold on, hold on. Vessel unto honor first. They have told us, everyone must preach the gospel. I am going out. I'll tell everybody, hold on, hold on. Get saved. Get restored. Get sanctified. And get purified. You want to be sure you are ready for heaven before you go to tell other people, let's go to heaven. If you are headed towards hell because of defilement and because of sin, all that zeal of running up and down, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of your life. It says, only then, when I am restored, only then, when you create in me a clean heart, O God, only then will I tell transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm reading here from verse 5. Isaiah chapter 6. We're reading from verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me. The people who come to the retreat and they hear the words of God. The people who come to the retreat and hear all these messages, and all they can do is evaluate the message. I like that message. I enjoyed that message. I appreciate that message. Those people, they don't have any spiritual insight. When Isaiah saw the glory of God and he saw the angels crying, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord," he didn't just say, "I like the appearance of those angels and I see their beauty and I see their glory." He saw the holiness of God, he saw the purity of God, he saw the glory of heaven, and he saw his shame. He saw his own defilement. He saw his own deficiency. You know, the people come to the retreat and you know, every time we pray, all they want to do is clap their hands. It's like they're waiting for, "In Jesus' name we pray," and then you hear clapping. You're not going to find that in the New Testament. Neither are you going to find that in the Old Testament. We're coming back to Bible days. We're coming back to what it was in the Bible. You will not check it up as Jesus prayed. Check it up as the apostles prayed. And we want to discourage this kind of levity and this kind of unseriousness. The choir is singing, somebody wants to clap. The ministers are praying, somebody wants to clap. Everything we do, somebody wants to clap. Why are you not sober and just think that I must be purged, I must be purified? Isaiah saw the glory of God and he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In verse 6, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it on my mouth." Why? Oh, look at verse 5. "Woe is me, for I am unclean, because I'm a man of unclean lips." Unclean lips. I'm saved. How do you talk? I'm born again. What's the language of your mouth? What are the things that come out of your mouth? The ideas of the world, the language of the world, the proverbs of the world, and all the things you have picked up in the past life, and you're still saying them. Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips," and so the angel came and took this live coal and laid upon his mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged." After that purging, after that purification, after that experience of sanctification, verse 8, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." First salvation, first sanctification, first pardon, second purity, purifying of the heart, the purifying of the soul. After that purification, after that holiness and sanctification, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? He says, "Here am I, send me." When you find a minister that we're pleading with, we're pushing, we're dragging. When did you come to the church? 10 years ago, 12 years ago. And you're not a zonal leader, and you're not a house fellowship leader, and you're not this, and you're not, come on, you must do something. And we push them and push them and push them until they feel ashamed that we're talking to them every time and they're not responding. You didn't check up their lives. You didn't check up. Why is it there's no inner zeal? Why is it there's no passion? What is the thing holding them back? There is something in their heart, in their life. Leave them alone. Let them get ready for heaven first. But you know, when you have that fire in your soul, when you have that zeal in your heart, and the fire from the altar of God has touched you, nobody will push you. You will hear from the Lord yourself. Whom shall I say? Who will go for us? Then you'll be able to say like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. And then the Lord sent him. We need the sanctification. We need the holiness. We need the purifying of the heart. We're looking at Malachi, and I'm reading from chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And we're reading here from verse 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. It says, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. Remember, vessels of gold, vessels of silver, vessels unto honor. It says, he shall sit as a refiner, as a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, purify the sons of Levi, purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver. Why will he purge them? Why will he purify them? Why does he want to sanctify us? Why does he want to purify us? Look at the latter part of that verse 3. That they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That we may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, acceptable unto the Lord, worthy in the sight of the Lord, honorable in the sight of the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. The purifying of our vessels, the sanctifying of our vessels. If we're going to offer to the Lord that which is acceptable, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading here from verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're reading from verse 6. It's talking about the purging and the purifying before we can be used in the hands of the Lord. I'm sure you understand, God is not looking for thousands and millions of people to work for him. If he has them, he'll use them. But it's not in a hurry to just drive anybody to the work. You know, somebody is saying that we only have a few workers here, and these few workers are not enough. And if you have been in the church for the past 3 years, raise up your hand. They raise up their hands, come to this side. And you've come, you've learned enough. You've come to Bible study for 3 years. You've been coming to Sunday meeting for 3 years. And you've been coming to Thursday revival hour. Have you been coming for power night? Yes, how many years? 3 years. Come on, come to this side. All of you, we are going to divide you. You go to the choir. You go among the ushers. You go to security. You go to us fellowship. You go here. And then we write down their names. We don't do it like that. You're spoiling the work. And maybe you yourself, you're not qualified to be a leader. If you're a leader of note, a leader that is worth your salt, you will understand that if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, the old lifestyle, the old behavior, and the old defilement, and the old evil. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For evil Christ a Passover is sacrifice for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the work, neither with the leaven of malice, wickedness. And then he goes on to say, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Have you found out sometimes these two people say they are workers, and then the pastor of their local church is sitting down with them for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. They're two sisters and they're working in the same section of the church. Then they're choir. But you notice they never greet each other. And then you call them and say, sister so and so. First of all, that's not a sister, that's madam. That's lady so and so. That's madam so and so. We use the word brother too cheap, too flippantly. Brother so and so, a thief, a backslider. Sister so and so, having malice, having hatred, quarreling, shouting. And then we say, calm. We're children of God. Are we? We're born again. Are we? We're servants of the Lord. Are we? You are in the choir together. And here you are. You're not greeting each other. Now, please settle. Hey, this is what she did. This is what she did. Okay, forgive now. Forget. No, I cannot forgive. Pastor, you must understand. It's very painful what she said. And the other one will reply and point the finger like this. You're afraid that she must even point the finger and strike the eyeball out. And that one also talks. And then the, you know, so-called pastor will say, our time is gone now. I'll see you another time. When you finish singing on Sunday, see me. There you are. That's how you spoil the church. When you finish singing on Sunday, they should not be there. Because it says, if a man purge himself from all these, he'll be a vessel unto honor. And he'll be a man, he'll be a woman that is sanctified and purified and fit for the master's use. That's why it says over here, purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, and let all that malice go, all that wickedness let it go, and all the lying let it go, before we can be really people that will serve the Lord in an acceptable manner. It takes grace to serve the Lord. Grace in salvation and grace in sanctification, purity of heart and purity of life. If we're going to serve the Lord, if you count that service important, that service essential, and that service very necessary for you, then do what it takes. Purge yourself. Take all those things out of your life and say, Lord, here is my life. I lay my life on your altar. And then the Lord will use us. It tells us in Hebrews, I'm reading here from chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. If we're going to serve the Lord acceptably, there must be that grace. The grace that cleanses, and the grace that changes our lives, and the grace we know, the grace of God has come in. We deny all ungodliness, and we follow the righteous way of the Lord. We're pure, we're holy, we're sanctified. He purifies us and redeems us from all iniquity, because his blood cleanses us. What's the point serving the Lord here? What's the point singing here? What's the point ushering here? What's the point doing the work of God here? And then when the trumpet sounds, you are left behind. You'll be like the bus conductors helping other people to go in to that bus, and then the bus leaves and you are left behind. When you say you are ministering, you say you are preaching, you say you are singing, you say you are serving the Lord, you say you are a worker in the church, and yet your life is not tried, and the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, is not going to change that standard for anyone. And if you are just serving the Lord, and there's no purity there, there's no sanctification there, there's no holiness there, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, we're reading from verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, we're reading here from verse 6. Matthew 5, verse 6. It tells us here that blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look up here. Being merciful is not giving the work of the Lord like a toy to a kind of childish person. A childish person, you cannot say stand up there, go that way, sit up there, everybody stand up now. Now we're going to pray, and then the fellow is, whatever it is offended. You cannot say, this is what God requires. You cannot say, this is the standard of the word of God. Once you say that, the fellow is angry and swells up. And then you want to give the work of the Lord to him like a toy to appease the little child. Wouldn't do that. You want to give the work of God to that girl, because now that girl is so snobbish and rude and angry and will, you know, kind of do whatever, swelling up. And then you say, to calm them down, you bribe her. Well, the work of God is not a toy. And we need to understand that when it says blessed are the merciful, you don't give the good thing, the holy thing, unto the dog. You can give them water when they are thirsty. You can give them food when they are hungry, but not the work of God. Blessed are the merciful. You give material things to the people when they need it. That's the mercy we're talking about. And if they do wrong and they repent, you forgive them and they go ahead. Then in verse 8, it says in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in language, pure in lifestyle, pure in behavior, pure from their inner man. That's the words of Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What if they are impure? What if they are defiled? What if they don't want holiness? What if you there does not want holiness and purity of heart, and you want to remain polluted? I'm sorry for you, you'll be a vessel unto dishonor, and you will not be useful in the household of faith. Not only that, you will not get to heaven. Pollution will not get to heaven. Defilement will not get to heaven. Angry people, except they repent, will not get to heaven. Bitter people, people holding malice, they'll not get to heaven. And the people that are living in sin, public or private, and there's no repentance, and there's no regeneration, there's no heaven. Polluted vessels in of dishonor without salvation. We're looking at 2 Timothy once again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we're reading from verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. There are some people that it's a shame to be identified with them. Sometimes you see what they do, and it's a shame to say we're going to the same church. Sometimes it may be in the bus, when you pick up a quarrel and a terrible fight with the bus conductor, you want to stay away. Is this so and so? I didn't know that this is the way she lives. This is the way he reacts. And sometimes says buying and selling. And the fellow flares up and begins to say some words that you have not heard those words for 20 years. And it's coming out of her mouth. Say what? The world is so much in this woman. The world is so much in this man. How could you say that? Are you not born again? Are you not a child of God? He said, leave me with him. I will show him something. It's not showing him grace. It's not showing him humility. It's not showing him love. It's not showing him peace of mind and the peace of God. I will show him something. And then you find them, they tie their apart very well. If it requires a fight, I tell you, I will fight with you. Hey, you go to church, even if you are not born again. You go to church, you're on your way to salvation, on your way to heaven. How can you do that? Those are polluted vessels of dishonor. They're a dishonor to God, a dishonor to Christ, a dishonor to the church, a dishonor to the kingdom of God. And it said, those polluted vessels don't have salvation. Look at Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. And I'm reading here from verse 8. Hosea chapter 8. And we're reading from verse 8. Hosea chapter 8, verse 8. It says, Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles. Listen to this. A vessel wherein is no pleasure. God does not have pleasure in such vessels. You know what had happened to them? Look at verse 3. Israel has cast off the sin that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They cast off the law of God, the restraint of the law, the righteousness of the law, the repentance required by the law. They cast that off. Repentance is no more part of their doctrine. Righteousness is no more part of their lifestyle. Restitution, I am sorry, those three words have left their mouth for a long time. They never say I am sorry to anybody. They can do evil, they can fight, and they can be convinced that they've done something that is not right. Privately, they will go and regret, not repent. Privately, they go and regret. But to say, I am sorry, and to have repentance, that's gone. They cast off repentance. They cast off restitution. They cast off righteousness. They cast off the life of the believer. Israel are forsaking the sin that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Look at verse 12, Israel. Verse 12. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange sin. They count holiness strange. They count sanctification strange. And they count purity of life, they count that strange. I've written to him, I've proclaimed unto him, I've declared unto him the great things of my law, the great privilege in the kingdom of God, and they were counted as a strange thing. Look at what God said in conclusion. Because of that, Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel in whom there is no pleasure. Jeremiah chapter 22. There are vessels in which God does not have pleasure. God does not have delight. And God will not use them. You may put them there into service. Whatever service render will not be used of God. You may put them there because you know they must be there. This one must be there. The Lord will not use the polluted vessel. Sin pollutes anyone. Evil pollutes anyone. and it's just be not just being there physically, you must be there spiritually. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 28. Is this man Coniah, a despised broken idol? You see a vessel wherein is no pleasure. You see that the vessel in which God does not have pleasure. If there is sin in your life, if there is evil in your life, if there is defilement in your life, you may cover it up, and men, women, people, church may not know, but it says you're a vessel unto dishonor. You might be into witchcraft, into familiar spirit. You know what you do in the night, and then you're coming to the church and somebody places you in the children's section, and they say, we're looking for workers, workers in children's section, they're not enough. They say, sister so and so, come. How do you know she's a sister? Check up and pray and know whether that's a sister or not. And there are people that are walking around, and there are people that are complaining, why is sister so and so not there? Why is sister so and so not? What's your business there? How do you know who she is? How do you know their lives? How do you know whether they are vessels in which heaven does not have any pleasure? And then they are campaigning, there's politics, and eventually you put them in the children's section. They get there just 1 month, and many of those children are corrupted. We take them to the prayer warrior section, and we're praying for them, and the child begins to say, actually it's mama so and so that took me there. Is mama so and so that gave me this and told me I must give to another child. You see what we're doing? As we just put anybody, vessels in which there's no honor, a time of purging has come. Am I talking to good people here tonight? I said a time of purging has come. And if you don't see somebody in the choir, don't ask any question. You go and check up yourself. Should you be where you are? If you don't see anybody in the children's section, don't ask any question. Why is so and so not there? That's not your business. If you don't see anybody among the ushers, among the choristers, don't ask any question. If God wants to purge his church, let him purge the church. I said let him purge the church, so that we will know the people who are vessels unto honor, those who really want to serve the Lord. And then you come, you're purified, you're holy, you're sanctified through and through, internally and outwardly. If you don't see a leader's wife, don't go and ask the leader's wife, where is your wife? Your wife is our leader. Your wife is this, your wife is that. Leave those leaders alone. Let the leaders who know their own wives, and the leaders who know how their wives are at home, let them take the right decision. They are answerable to God. They are not answerable to you. All this bribing of people will position. From tonight, it will stop. And so that we will know the people who are going to heaven and the people who are ready to take the Bible as the word of God and live according to the word of God. Purified vessels, not the people who are polluted and they don't have any pleasure in the things of the Lord, and God doesn't have any pleasure with them. We're going to Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2. We're reading from verse 10. In Micah chapter 2, and we're reading here from verse 10. Micah chapter 2, reading from verse 10. If you are polluted, come out of that situation and then be cleansed and be purified. Micah chapter 2, verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. You're not saved, don't rest there. You're not sanctified, don't rest there. You're given a position you know you should not occupy, don't rest there. Now, my brothers, fellow ministers with me, you know something? If you give your wife responsibility in the church, local church, district church, or in the group, and you know, in all sincerity, judging by the standard of the word of God, that this woman, if the trumpet sounds today, she will not make it. and then you overload her with responsibility, so that when we come to the retreat, instead of hearing the word of God, instead of praying, the responsibility you have given her, you are my wife, be in charge of this. You are my second half, be in charge of this. And the woman doesn't have any chance to hear the word of God, doesn't have any chance to listen and to pray. What are you doing to your wife? You want to take her to hell. You want to get her to hell. Let her sit down. Let her hear the word of God. And sometimes when you do that, your wife might ask you, my husband, if you stop me, I know I should stop. I know my life is not right. I know I hear the preaching myself. I know it. But don't you think that if I stop, people will be asking me questions? Of course, of course. Tell them the truth. Tell them you have something to settle with God. That's all right. Should not be ashamed of that. Are we here because of position? Are we here because of human honor? We're here to prepare for heaven. Don't let anything hinder you. Well, we'll get to this heaven. I said we're going to get to this heaven. And if you are not a wife, you are not a husband, you are just an individual by yourself here, and you know your own life, and we made a mistake, and we put you somewhere, and we say, do this, do this, you should say, excuse me, sir, I can't do it. No, I tell you to do it. I'm your leader. I command you to do it. You must obey. Sir, come. My life is not right. I'm going to this retreat to find out myself. I need something from the Lord, spiritual, so I can get ready for heaven. And leave that work and come and get ready for heaven. We're talking about readiness for Christ's coming. You know, if you do that between today and tomorrow, something great will still happen to you. Because God will see your sincerity, and God will see that you really mean to get to heaven. That heaven, you will get there. Am I talking to somebody there today? I said that heaven you will get there in Jesus' name. Micah chapter 2 verse 10, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. What are we going to do now? We come to the Lord, and as we come to the Lord, he'll wipe away, he'll cleanse away that pollution, that defilement. Ezekiel chapter 36, Ezekiel 36, reading from verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Give me an amen there. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. It will happen tonight. You call upon the Lord, you see all this pollution, all this defilement, I want the Lord to cleanse me and to wash me and to take everything away. A new heart also will I give you. A new heart also will I give you. Think about this. Your present heart, do you think that's new enough? Where you store all the malice, all the rebellion, all the disobedience, all the longing after sin, all the desire for sin. And when you see a woman, the first thing you think about is immorality. When you see a man, the first thing you think about is immorality. If any woman happens to be doing something good and happens to be beautiful, the first thing that crosses your mind is immorality. Is that in your heart? When you see a man that is doing something good, a married man, is married already, you are married already, the first thing that comes to your mind is immorality. Is that in your heart? Why are we just there? And we don't read the scriptures, and we don't say, I must get to the Lord, I must get ready, I must not perish in this condition. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Stop there for a moment. Stony heart. What's that? That's a stubborn heart. And as you look at those of us who are here, and the things we do, and the things we say, and the actions that we put forth, would you say there's no stubbornness here? As you look around, and you look at that place, and that place, and that place, would you say there's no stubbornness? When we preach the word of God, and when we read all these verses of scripture, and when we pray our hearts out, immediately after that prayer, the things we're doing before the prayer, we resume again and begin to do. Would you say there's no stubbornness there? As God removed the stony heart, when you and your husband, you sat down together, my wife, I need to talk to you. This, and this is not scriptural. We're going into the new year. If we're going to really serve the Lord, let's get rid of this. And then you kneel down together, you pray together. The second day, the same language comes back. Would you say that's a new heart? When the husband has been so near the maid at home, and then you have been watching as a wife, you know your husband, and you can read the countenance, and you know when something is interesting to him, you know when he's driving at something, and then you say, at a very good time, my husband, I think we need to talk. Okay, what is it? Looks like you are interested in this. Hey, shut up. Why are you saying that? Don't shut me up. Let me say what's my mind. If you want to slap me and then really show that you are backsliding, you can slap me when I finish. Let me talk. And then the wife talks to the husband. Look at what I see. I'm a woman. I can tell when my husband is interested in another woman. And then eventually you say, okay, I'm sorry. It was the devil. I don't know why that came up. I'm okay, let us pray. And then you say you pray. The next week, the same action. Would you say that's a new heart? Why are we not sincere? Why don't we go back to Calvary? Why don't we say, this thing will not continue in my life? If your hand causes you to offend, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands and get to hellfire. If your eye offends you, if you know that maid, you cannot take your eyes away from that maid, let her go. What's she doing there? That is so important that you want her to take heaven away from you. You will take your stand. That's Christianity. That's what we're talking about. A new heart that will bring a new spirit and will bring a new direction of life, a new lifestyle, a new heart also will I give unto you. I will take away and I will give you the heart of flesh. It will happen tonight. Somebody there said it will happen tonight. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. A time of revival has come. A time of regeneration has come. A time of renewal when the blood of Jesus will purge us, and every defilement, every pollution, he will take away in Jesus' name. Point number three, preferred vessels for harvesting of souls. Preferred vessels for the harvesting of souls. We're looking at Psalm 101. Psalm 101. We're reading from verse 6. Psalm 101. We're reading from verse 6. It says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve meal. He says, those are the vessels I prefer. Those are the vessels I will use. Those who walk as much as they know in a perfect, upright way. Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. I'm reading from verse 11. Depart ye. Depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Look up here. The city in which we live has quite a lot of things. And it's in every city. It's not peculiar to a city here. The things you see. And those ladies that stand at the corner of the street. And they are almost naked. That's their trade. That's their work. That's how they get money. They've been doing that for long. And they have attracted some people. And attracting them to hell. And they have given themselves to, you're not the first one to see them. And you're not the first one to be attracted to them. That's their work. And when you're looking at them and you slow down your vehicle, and they know, they're very familiar with their customers. They know that that is a prospective customer. And then eventually you stop. Do you need a lead? You know what you're doing. You're an adult. You're looking for something. Why are you always taking that road? Why are you thinking in your mind, I am going through this way today. I hope I will see another free nude person. There you are. Why don't you take another road? Depart. Is that the only way to get to your office? Is that the only way to get to where you're going? If you're serious, you don't want to see that thing again. You don't want to behold that thing again. You will take another road. You'll say, I will not see that again. You shut your eyes against evil. Then we will know you are saved. We will know you are sanctified. You're a real child of God. You don't want an object of temptation to make you to perish. I pray you will not perish. I said, I pray you will not perish. Depart ye, go ye out from this. Touch no unclean thing. Working together in the same office. Lunch time. Madam, are you going for lunch? What's the business with that? Is that your girlfriend? Are you the same partner? Yes, I want to go, but you know, nowadays times are hard. No money. Oh, don't worry about that. Let's go together. There you are. The polite man. And then you are there. And all the other people, office people, they know the polite man, they are watching him. They're looking at him with the corner of their eyes. And they're giggling. And they're telling one another, holy, holy. Born again. Deeper. Look at him. And eventually, you bring the food there. And you are eating from the same plate. Heaven has seen you. You are caught. You know your life. You know what you're doing. Touch no unclean thing. And eventually you get back home. And your wife begins to sense lavender or whatever it is in your clothes. My husband, where did you go? Who did you embrace? Why are you asking me? Answer the question, sir. Don't use bold face. Don't tell a lie. Come out straight. Touch no unclean thing. And then God said, be clean, ye that bear the vessel of the Lord. We're going to be clean. All the things that have come into our lives that should not be there, there is a fountain that is shed, the blood of Jesus has been shed for us. We're going to plunge into that fountain of the blood of Christ tonight. It will purge us. It will cleanse us. It will purify us. It will sanctify us. We'll come out brand new tonight in Jesus' name. and then we will serve the Lord. It will be a glorious service from today, a glorious service, a wonderful service, and the Lord will have joy in the service of our church in Jesus' name. And today we're going to pray. Remember, there's no clapping after prayer today or any other time. Let's leave all these frivolous things, all this clapping, all the seriousness. Pastor comes to preach, we're clapping, we're singing, you're clapping, we're praying, we're clapping. Let's leave all that. Let heaven know that we're serious about our Christian lives, a cleansing, a purging, a purifying, that we will say, I want to be a vessel unto honor. You will be. I said you will be. If a man therefore purge himself from these, if a woman therefore purge herself from these, he shall be, she shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet and suitable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The Lord is going to prepare us tonight. He'll purge us tonight. He'll purify us tonight. He will cleanse us tonight. You examine yourself. You examine your heart. You examine your action. You examine your relationships. And you say, today, a purging must take place. Rise up and let's go for the purification. Let's go for the cleansing. Let's go for the sanctification from the hand of the Lord. He wants to perfect that work in us. He wants to do something new in us. He wants to take away that stony heart. He wants to give us the heart of flesh. He wants to make us vessels that he has pleasure in. He wants to make us vessels unto honor, purified, sanctified, ready for every good work. Open your mouth and pray to the Lord.